today on Real Radio.
And see, the angel's not poking fun at him. The angel of the Lord is saying, Gideon, I got a plan, and it's radical, and it's going to be with you.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in the Old Testament book of Judges. And this week we're in a mini-series that's taken from the first part of chapter 6. This is where an angel appears to Gideon and calls him to deliver Israel from the Midianites. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a presentation called Let a Man Arise.
In America, we need to realize something. And I know this is not going to go down easy. I wrote it down here. This is going to be a tough pill. But if you would, turn to the book of Isaiah real quick. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1, where Isaiah has a pretty amazing encounter. Isaiah 6, verse 1. It says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. And above it stood the seraphim. And each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried to another, saying, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the doors were shaken by the voice of him who cried out. And the house was filled, or that is the temple, was filled with smoke. So I said, woe is me. Watch this. He sees a revelation of God in his life personally. And look at Isaiah's response, verse 5. Woe is me, for I am undone. Because I'm a man of unclean lips, I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which had been taken with tongs off of the altar. And he touched my mouth with it and said, Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away. Your sin is purged. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then I said, Here I am, send me. And he said, Go and tell this people. What an amazing thing. What are we talking about? We're talking about a man who was very much associated with religious things, but we're talking about a man who, King Uzziah, was a great king. And apparently in the life of Isaiah, Uzziah might have been almost, as it were, an idol. Because in the year that King Uzziah died, Isaiah says, I saw the Lord. It kind of implies that in Isaiah's life, that he couldn't really see the Lord because Uzziah was such a big, big, tremendous king. He was a great king. And you know, you have so many great people who have a tendency to look to that person instead of God. In the year that King Uzziah died, Isaiah says, I saw the Lord. And what does he say? He becomes undone. He realizes, I'm a sinner. And not only am I a sinner, I dwell in the midst of an unclean people as well. But what happens? God sends revival. God makes him keenly aware of his sinfulness, but then he can be cleansed from a coal taken off of the altar, a sense of purging and cleansing. And then look at how gracious God is. God baits him by saying, Who should we send? I know. I just saw an awesome heavenly vision. I have just become keenly aware that I'm a big sinner. And also that a seraph, which has got six freaky wings, I mean, it's pretty wild, flew over and touched my tongue, and I am keenly aware that I've been forgiven of my sins. Send me! This is the life of the believer. God, we pray, will hear a cry from this nation, as he wanted to hear from Israel, a revival. Number two tonight, we pick it up, verses 7 to 10. Let a man arise, well, this way, in the things that the Lord desires. In the things that the Lord desires. Will God use you? Will God use me in this life? Well, number one is this. Am I going to be revived? Will I let God become very big in my life? Can God have every room and every hallway and every bit of my life? Well, then secondly, in the things that the Lord desires, oh God in heaven, we would pray as a church and as a Christian people, Lord, whatever you desire, will you do that in my life? God, do that. If you want this from heaven down here on earth, then Lord, use me to do that. Church, we need to be radical like that again. We need to be bold like that again. God, here I am, use me. There's not one of us. Now, I'm not even going to ask you to raise your hand because some of you just lie to me. You may not be a Christian here tonight and you'll still raise your hand just to blend in. Every one of us in this room, if we are Christians, we should be able to say, here I am, Lord, send me. God, whatever you want to do. You guys, He loves us. He's amazing. He not only made all that there is, He wrote us the Bible, His love letter, to announce to us what His intentions are. We should all jump up and say, Lord, send me. To where? To what? It doesn't matter. He is so great. Look, He's not going to... Do you not want to be somewhere? I can't go to the jungle. I'm scared of bugs. Then He's probably not going to send you to the jungle. In your heart and your life, what's burning as you follow Jesus? What's burning in you? Following Jesus, is it something burning in you that you might proclaim His word? Do you want to go to a foreign people? Or do you want to go to L.A. and on the street of Hollywood and Vine and share Jesus? Do you want to go door to door and tell people about the love of God? Do you want to burp babies in the nursery? Honestly, is that what you want to do? God has put that in your heart if you're following Him. Delight yourself in the Lord and He'll give you the desires of your heart. You say, Jack, that sounds selfish. It's not selfish because if you delight yourself in the Lord, Psalm 37, beginning at verse 4, if you delight yourself in the Lord, here's the cool thing. He begins to infuse things into your heart and He's so good. It's just like what He did to Isaiah. It's like what He's going to do to Gideon if we ever get to the message tonight. He is going to say, who's going to go for us? And Isaiah says, I will. The Lord is going to say, get up, Gideon, you mighty man of valor. He's going to say, me? It's the projection of God's plan upon your life. Gideon, I've got a plan for your life. Let's go. And He's going to give all the reasons why he's weak and can't do it. Are we not experts at that? Isaiah says, woe unto me, I'm undone. I'm filthy and I live in the midst of a filthy people. But God cleanses us and makes us usable. You guys, it may be, this is tough. Our world and this part of the world where we live in, we're really blessed to live in Southern California for a lot of reasons. But one of them is there's just a lot of bright people around here, a lot of talented people. And you know, that's a great thing to accomplish great things. It's a great thing. But you know what? Regarding church stuff, it's a scary thing. You want to know why? God can't use people who are full of themselves and so talented that there's no room for the Holy Spirit to glorify the name of His Son Jesus, because doggone it, that guy is just too gifted at what he does. It's natural talent. We don't need more natural talent. You guys, we've had an earful of, you know, we can do this and we can do that and this thing and the... Oh, you know what? What is God into? God is into taking Isaiahs who are filthy and Gideons who are scared to death and every one of us in between that are weak and the foolish things of this world. And God says, I can use you and I can use you and I can use you and you and you. That's how God gets the glory. Every excuse we offer up to God, I can't do that, should be really replaced with, well, because I can't do that and you can, God, who all things are possible through you, I guess I qualify to be used. What's wrong with us? Why can't we think like that? Hope thou in God, the psalmist said. Why so downcast? You can almost see King David look inside of his robe. Why so downcast, O my soul? What's wrong with you? Cheer up. Hope thou in God. He said, hope thou in God. He preached to himself the truth of God. Well, God will never use me. God loves to use people who think that. Just don't keep thinking that. God will never use me, but He likes to use things that can't be used. Now I qualify. So here's your prayer for the rest of your life and mine. So then, God, keep me usable. You know, when we ask that, we're asking God to keep us humble, keep us weak. We need to be bold and pray that. In 1 Samuel 15, verse 22, 1 Samuel 15, 22, in the days of King Saul, it says, "So Samuel said, 'Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings, sacrifice, as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice.'" Samuel's saying this to Saul. "And to heed than the fat of rams, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity of idolatry, because you," he says to Saul, "have rejected the word of the Lord has rejected you from being king." What happened? Saul, in all of his greatness, went out and did not obey the voice of the Lord, but did his own thing. With all of his talent, he thought, "I think this would be better." And God doesn't want our talents. He doesn't want that. He wants the Spirit's gifting in our lives. Listen to this. This is critical. If you look at Judges 6, look at verse 9. "And I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of all who oppress you, and drove them out before you and gave you their land." God did the impossible for Israel. And he's reminding Gideon of his greatness. Verse 10, "Also I said to you, I am the Lord your God. Do not fear the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, but you have not obeyed my voice." That's the announcement made to the people of Israel. What is going on? They had forgotten that God had done great things, and the Lord desires to always do great things. Lord, today, tonight, God desires to do great things tomorrow. He does? Where? Where are you going tomorrow? Tomorrow morning when you get up, are you guys with me?
Yeah.
Tomorrow morning when you get up, you need to say, "Lord, where are we going today?" You say, "Well, Jack, I'm just going to work." You're just going to work? Okay. I understand if you're just going to work, if everybody there is born again, praising the Lord and singing hymns, and chances are that's not happening. Are you going to work tomorrow? If you're going to go to work tomorrow, then realize this, "Lord, where are we going?" We're going to work. "Lord, what are we going to do?" We're going to be a witness. You're not going there tomorrow alone. You're going to work tomorrow, and the Lord's going with you. And he wants to do something great. He desires to do great things. Listen, church, we need to get away from the things that keep us from entering into those things that the Lord would have for us. So many of us are suffering from a spiritual maze or confusion. And it shouldn't be that way. Because maybe we've allowed things into our lives, and we talked about that last time, but we want to be cleared so that we can be used of the Lord. Third thing, verses 11 to 13. "Let a man arise in the things that the Lord can see." The things that the Lord can see are things that you and I cannot see. That's why we're invited to enter into faith and exercise faith. God can see everything. And so it says in verse 11, "Now the angel of the Lord," can you guys mark that? Can you circle the angel of the Lord? "Came and sat under the Timnath tree, which was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abizrite. While his son Gideon threshed wheat in the winepress," not the place to thresh wheat, "in order to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him," here it is, "The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor." I wish you, "The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor, you." This is a radical statement. He was not a mighty man of valor. Not yet, anyway. Verse 13, "Gideon said to him, 'Oh, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all his miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites.'" Does he not say, "I think he's from this church. I think I know him. I think it's me." Is that not contemporary? Here he is, the angel of the Lord appears. Church, very quickly, this is none other than what is referred to as a theophanies, a pre-incarnate appearance of God. It is radical because it's throughout Scripture, from Old to New Testament, the angel, capital A, of the Lord. Whenever you see capital A in both Hebrew or in Greek, it is a word usage denoting deity. It's radical. What it means is this. For example, when Gideon sees the angel of the Lord, by the time we come to the end of our message through this portion of Scripture, he is going to say to God, "I have seen the angel of the Lord, I'm going to die now." Because nobody could see the Lord and live. The angel of the Lord is what is called a theophanies or Christophanies, meaning it is a pre-incarnate, that is pre-Bethlehem, appearance of the Son of God. It happens throughout, again, the Old and New Testament. It's pretty amazing. Joshua, do you remember when Joshua was getting ready and they had just crossed over to go to battle? And Joshua saw this warrior coming, and it's a great scene. I think it's Joshua 5. And there in Joshua chapter 5, as he's looking, he sees this warrior coming. Joshua pulls out his sword. And apparently, whoever this person is could care less about Joshua's sword. Not intimidated a bit. And Joshua says something very interesting. You can almost see him in his military defense mode, you know, and he says, "Are you for us or the enemy? Who are you?" And the Lord doesn't even answer. He says, "I am captain of the Lord's host. Take off your sandals, for the place where you stand is holy ground." Wow. That happened once before at a burning bush. And God told Moses, "Moses, take off your sandals. It's protocol. You're in the presence of God. The place where you stand is holy ground." Abraham, remember when Abraham was delivered there on the side and Lot was still goofing around down there in Sodom and Gomorrah? And the two angels came and talked with Abraham, and the angel of the Lord came, a third person. Two angels, but the angel of the Lord. And the two angels broke off and went down into Sodom and Gomorrah while the Lord sat there and ate and spoke with Abraham. It was a theophanies. And Abraham even called him the Lord. Absolutely amazing. It's what happens here right now. This is encouraging to us. Why? Because this is exactly what you and I would want to have happen to us. Can you imagine? Here's what's going on. The Midianites are attacking. They're stealing. So now Israel, Gideon, they've got all their stuff and they're trying to save a little bit of food. So where are they? Church, a wine press. Those of you who have been with us to Israel, you already know what this is. But it's a large area that is carved out. They've got a big wheel. They would throw all the grapes in there and they would either have an ox or a donkey. Sometimes they would have a couple of men with a big stake that comes out from this wheel. And they would press the grapes. A wine press. It's down low. It's cut into the earth. But what's he doing? Is he crushing grapes or is he threshing wheat? He's threshing wheat. It's the worst thing you can do. You know why? Because you're supposed to take wheat up on the high hill where it's windy. And you're supposed to beat the wheat and then throw it up in the air. And the wind blows the chaff away. And the wheat kernel falls to the ground and you harvest it. I mean, you bind it up and use it. This poor guy, he is down in the hole where there ain't no wind, throwing it up. He's like, and it's hard. He's got it in his eyes. He's got it in his beard. He's got it in, you know, he's just covered in this stuff. And it's kind of a sad scene. But, you know, when you're under attack, what are you going to do? So he's hiding now. He's hiding there. And there's this heavenly appearance. "The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor." Can you? It's almost, you guys remember who Don Knotts is? Okay, think of that. Remember Barney Fife? Anybody, you know? Andy! You know that guy? He's just, and the angel says, "You mighty man of valor, homie!" His knees are knocking. He's scared. But he just goes to wherever human heart goes when it's upset and bummed out and eyes off of God. It's a tremendous thing. Gideon said, He didn't say, Gideon said, you want some wheat? You want to want something? Gideon says, oh, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, notice he goes right into this thing. He files a complaint, a grievance. If the Lord is with us, then why is all this happening to us? Have we not said that? If God, if I'm a Christian, why is this happening? If I'm a Christian, how can I have cancer? If I'm a Christian, how come my house can burn down? If I'm a Christian, how can my wife leave me? You're Christian. This life is hard. This life is tough. This world is not fair. And just because we're children of the living God doesn't mean that we're going to get a free pass from the evils of this life. You guys, let's remember. Sometimes we get too comfortable here. And we're wondering why things aren't not working out better. Let's also remember this. We've got it better than most people in the entire universe. Okay? I don't mean to insult any one of us. But we're not the best at suffering here in the West. We've got it very easy. Gideon is translating the attack of the Midianites and everything that's going against them as somehow equating to the fact that God has left us. I don't know how you viewed September 11th. Did you view September 11th that God left us? I hope not. I viewed September 11th as God using, or God allowing, I should say, to get our attention through an idiotic, insane ideology. If you remember, for the first 3 weeks after 9/11, churches were packed across America. And then, where are the people? We won't see them again until there's another September 11th. Or a 6.5. Those people come and go. And when the rapture happens, and you're gone, they'll come. And they'll pack this place out. But where are the people? They were scared and asking questions and complaining about this and that and the other. And then you get comfortable again. And you get easy again. And we forget God. That's exactly what's happening here. And so when you forget God, you look at all these things. Oh my goodness, look at all that's going on. The Lord is with them. There's some humor here. You have to look at it as a sense of humor, where he's hiding and the angel says, you mighty man of valor. There is some humor to that because the valor part hadn't happened yet. But you know what? Isn't God good? He looked at him because God knew what was going to happen. And see, the angel's not poking fun at him. The angel of the Lord is saying, Gideon, I got a plan. And it's radical. And it's going to be with you.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation called Let a Man Arise. It's a presentation taken from the book of Judges, chapter 6. Remember that we recently wrapped up Pastor Jack's examination of the New Testament letter to the Ephesians. Well, we've placed that entire series all onto one MP3 CD. So here's our offer. For your gift to the ongoing work of Real Radio of any amount, we'll be happy to send you Pastor Jack's series in Ephesians on one MP3 CD. You can call, click, or write. Just be sure and indicate the Ephesians Study Series on MP3 CD. Our number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO. 877-RR-RADIO. You can also visit us at realradioactive.org. realradioactive.org. Or you can send in your contribution to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact information can always be located at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine. amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.